Welcome, library friends, to the Silverton Library Connection podcast, where pages turn, stories unfold, and community bonds grow stronger. I'm your host, Misty Anderson. Join me as we dive into the world of books, explore the heart of our library, and uncover the pulse of our town's happenings. This is the Silverton Library Connection podcast. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Welcome, Silverton Library friends, to another episode of the Silverton Library Connection podcast. I'm your host and library director, Misty Anderson, and I have a very special guest with us today. Not only is she the director of public health here in Silverton, Colorado, she's my friend. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you, Misty. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, Becky Joyce is the director of public health here in Silverton, and if you live in around Silverton, you know Becky. I would be willing to say she's probably helped you in some capacity. She potentially could have saved your life. She saved my husband's life. And so I'm just very glad you're here with us today.
Thank you.
Being the director of public health sounds like a lot of love. Do you come at it a place of love?
Oh my gosh. I think if you did not love your community, if you did not love, well, in my case, being a nurse,
yeah,
and helping people, it would be kind of a pain in the neck job, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let's start with where you're from and how you got to Silverton. I'd love to know that story.
Oh, very cool. I grew up in Moab, Utah. And we moved to Silverton in 2002. My husband worked for an outward, you know, expeditionary learning outward bound school in Grand Junction. And since this school is that model, they offered a position to him. So we moved here with plans of just being ski bums for 1 year.
Ha! Ha! And how many years later?
What is it? Almost 20?
Wow.
Yeah.
You think you ever go anywhere else?
For 20, isn't it? And not at this point.
Yeah.
No, I cannot imagine what it would take to have another place that I would want to go to.
Yeah. You've given so much to this community.
Oh, well, and the natural beauty.
Oh, I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. That's mm-hmm. It gets us all here.
Special.
It's crazy. We all kind of like find this place because of the beauty and then these other things unravel for you.
Unexpected.
Right?
Yes.
I know.
Unexpected. This is like no place on earth.
Every single person I've talked to or interviewed, except I would say Gloria always had her eyes set on Silverton. Uh-huh. But other than that, everybody I've talked to kind of found it and then was like, I don't want to ever leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I'm so glad you're here. Can you tell us a little bit about your role and like what are your main responsibilities and objectives in your role?
You know, that's a really good question because most of the time, including even probably my family members, don't even understand what public health is. And I was a nurse for 16 years in the hospitals before I took this job. I had done community health, like as a school nurse and drug prevention and, you know, youth tobacco use prevention and stuff like that here already. But primarily, I was always in the hospital. So that is direct care. That is me, you know, doing whatever the doctor asked me to do. Public health is HERD, if that makes sense. It's HERD community health. So it is population health. It's supposed to be like an eye view of the whole community. So my job is to fulfill all the core public health services that I can, essentially for the state of Colorado's, you know, CDPHE department. We are a local public health agency, so we're local government. Wow. But those programs, you know, not to get too nitty gritty about it, because it can, to be honest, be a little boring to talk about. But, you know, I am essentially the one of the only directors in Colorado that is a nurse as well as a public health director. And so we really focus on prevention. So, you know, immunizations and vaccines, how to prevent communicable diseases. And if there are any communicable diseases, we monitor and we try to, you know, help that, stop that. There's also a lot of maternal child health programs. There's environmental health, which because we're so small, we do have to get help from a regional public health department. So La Plata County Public Health does quite a few of our programs. The state of Colorado comes and does our food protections, our consumer protections that help with food safety in the restaurants. So they do the inspections, which is actually quite great. I wouldn't want to go inspect my friend's restaurant.
Oh my gosh. Shop. Just as you were saying that, I was like, whoa, wait, that's a job of yours? Okay, that's good.
So when I started in 2015 here, 2 months later, the Gold King mine spill happened.
Oh.
And I've been a nurse since 2000. Environmental health really wasn't my background. So it is a constant learning job. We do emergency preparedness and response. So if the power goes out, the first thing we think of, you know, other than me calling our emergency manager or vice versa, or Deanne Gallegos, our public information officer, is essentially, are people going to be warm who don't have a secondary heat, especially those maybe like seniors or, you know, whoever might not have transportation and oxygen. People are on oxygen when the power goes out. Are they going to get enough oxygen? So then we also coordinate with the EMS, and you know, it's just a very big blanket over the town. I think people have deemed public health as sort of the silent this is kind of funny, silent savior of lives, but I don't want to go that far, because it is a big, you know, effort.
I think you have. I think it's wonderful that, like, at our house, everyone just freaks out because Netflix goes down and the Wi-Fi's off. You're, like, really thinking about people and their oxygen tanks. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Or if they don't have wood heat. Or
so, like, the power
heat.
Went out yesterday.
Correct.
Is that triggering for you? Or do you go into, like, take care mode?
You know, it was, what was it, around the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So we knew people weren't going to freeze to death.
Yeah.
Also, we have an incredible San Miguel Power.
They're awesome.
Oh my gosh. Jeff is just amazing.
So on it.
With his colleagues. And so the times I get worried is when the power goes out and it's 9 o'clock at night, which happens.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen very frequently, but as the hours go by or we have a really big snowstorm, the other things that keep me up is when our roads are closed.
Yeah.
And we have EMS. You know, all the what ifs we need to get a person out of town. I can't tell you how many times there has been coordination for medications for people, especially life-saving medications, when perhaps one of the passes is closed. So anyways, a lot of people come to me just as a nurse who get, you know, a second opinion on should I go to the doctor.
Yeah.
The other thing that's a really important part of our job is access to care. So we worked really hard to get that second clinic in.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't, like, you know, and in other places, that's, you know, a big challenge for us here is that other places you can just go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Here we try to use all our resources to help someone to get to the doctor. So.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You wear a lot of hats. I thought my hats were many. I think your hats double my hats.
And I, you had said, I remember in your interview with Gloria, this is just, it is a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
And I never mind someone texting me on a weekend or on a whatever. And it's for just random stuff. If I can help, I will.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, it's, I can't fix it.
Yeah. That would be hard.
Yeah.
If you know Becky, you know she's also an amazing mom. And the skills in motherhood are basically what you described for public health.
Right.
You know, like a lot of caring for people and deeming what's necessary and when and how to manage it. And you do a really great job.
Oh,
I wouldn't guess that you wear all those hats because
and
she still reads books. That's amazing. Well, so obviously we're a very small town and we have a lot of unique health challenges. What do you think the biggest challenge for us compared to a bigger town? I have a feeling I think I know what you're going to say, but...
Yeah, well, one thing I'm going to plug into it is health equity. And in rural areas and places with high, low socioeconomic status do not get the health care that bigger places do. I mean, there's all the obvious things of access to, you know, a doctor's office or some sort of care or... You know, just so many things, programs, regionally we're offered so many programs, but the regional organizations don't actually come to Silverton.
Yeah.
So I know that's a question down the line, but we're working on that of really, it's advocacy for me is trying to advocate. Funding goes to high populated areas.
Yeah.
They used to fund us per capita, so we would only get so much funding because we had 700 people. But in fact, we had so much inequity with our healthcare because we didn't have all the resources that other big places have. So a lot of my role is also advocating, on our director's calls with the state and on our other resource calls and hiring another position, Dana Cranker, a health planner, to make relationships, to get that service actually to our community.
That reminds, partnerships is what I hear.
Yeah.
And partnerships, Gloria and I discussed this. I've discussed it with Jackie.
Yeah.
Partnerships in a small town are really how things are accomplished.
And relationships.
And relationships.
I have watched people come and go from different positions here. And the relationships are, they're key. There is nothing like relationships to really be able to connect with other people and hopefully help each other.
Well, absolutely. Like, I think about the food truck that came with the groceries.
Yeah.
And I think about the DMV truck that we're going to partner together to do.
Thank
you. Being able to bring an entire truck for a DMV to come and sit out front so people can...
Right. Have access to it. Because people work really hard here.
Yeah.
They work really hard. And to just go to Durango or to Montrose takes a day off of work and try... And you need driver's licenses to be able to access healthcare.
I know. I know. Yeah. I'm so excited about that venture.
I'm so appreciative.
So how do you approach public health outreach and education in our community?
A lot of texting goes on, to be honest. We were fortunate. So we really run off of grants. We cost the county very little to run because we go get grants that
that's awesome.
And a lot of them are non-competitive from the state. So that's good because I am not a grant writer by trade, but we were able to really hire positions. So one really exciting position we hired was a cultural broker, which just means essentially someone who speaks Spanish and can translate and interpret and who knows people who I may not be able to communicate as well with because I don't speak Spanish, but who can get to the community and actually really promote and advertise our services.
Wow.
Because a lot of communities, if there are different languages spoken, we take that for granted. There are a lot of materials that aren't interpreted. A lot of people don't go to Facebook in English. And so our goal this last year was to really hire a position that actually does a lot of outreach. And then honestly, social media. We try to get information out of social media. We try to do word of mouth. I text a lot.
But those are those connections and relationships you're talking about.
Yeah. If the mobile food market's coming, I text everybody I know, whether it's in English and Spanish, and say, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget.
Yeah.
And the paper, we'll advertise in the paper. We'll do whatever we can.
I know. Well, when we were doing the theater group play this summer, we took flyers around door to door and you would be amazed at how many people said, oh my gosh, thank you for bringing this because I don't get out or I don't. And I was like, wow, that's the first time I had done that.
Yeah.
And we had probably 5 or 10 people that came to the play just based on.
Because of that. Well, and you think of all of our population. There are, a lot of seniors, they want a phone call, which is great. It's fine. We're talking to each other. A lot of people don't do social media. A lot of people either do or don't read the newspaper. We try all avenues, even flyers.
I like to ask this question just in case I'm missing something in my advertising for the library, but you're doing everything I'm doing. So
cool.
So one thing that, I know everybody's talking about is mental health challenges, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah.
I will continue to talk about that stuff as much as I can. Especially post-pandemic, what resources or support systems are available for people in Silverton that maybe have a mental health need?
I'm so glad you asked, Misty, because I am shocked if someone doesn't ever have,
me too,
including myself.
Me too. You don't have anxiety? What?
Right, including myself, just life, human. I wish we didn't even call it mental or
Me
behavioral
either.
health issues. I wish we just said being human.
Right?
So
Taking
we
care of yourself.
taking care of yourself. And so what we did with a grant that in bigger places, they probably need to put the money into their staff and their administration, you know, administrative costs for their offices. But what we did was we took several grants from the CDC essentially, and we are using them to pay behavioral health therapists. So we have licensed professional counselors and social workers. We actually have six right now.
Really?
Oh my gosh. This is something that
That's
has been
amazing.
A really big need. So you can access 10 free behavioral health sessions with six therapists of your choice. The flyers are hopefully going up today. But we've been advertising this program for over a year. And so we do have one therapist, Bruce Herring, who is on staff, and he works after hours and on weekends and et cetera, et cetera. But there are lots of other, therapists to choose from. And we will, I think we're going to start trying to bill insurances if possible, but we do not want that to be a barrier.
That's good. That's really good to hear because therapy used to be getting access to therapy used to be outrageously expensive.
Oh, it would prohibit me if I had to even pay $50. That's a big expense.
I know. There was a time in my life where I would have to choose, like, am I going to go to therapy this week or I'm going to, go to yoga? And I would choose therapy, though yoga is a secondary therapy.
Isn't it?
Yes. But I knew about this program and I tell people about it at the library a lot just because knowing you may not have a quote unquote problem right now and everything may be fine, whatever. But if that thing arises and something happens and you're like, I do need some help, I just want that bug in everybody's ear. So if you're listening, know it is such a good service. If you were in a big city, you would be paying a lot of money for this.
Exactly. And you don't have to go to 10 sessions. You might have, the other day I was like, Bruce, do you have time tomorrow? I've got something I got to work through.
Nice.
And, 1 o'clock, Becky.
That's awesome. And how do you make an appointment over there?
Well, we've put up the therapists. Essentially, we want you to talk to your therapist because we want you to have anonymity and confidentiality. We don't want you to have to deal with us or that be a barrier. We also have one Spanish-speaking therapist as well
who
comes from Durango.
Nice.
So, and so we want you to essentially call those that we've advertised those therapists with their numbers so you can just do it with them directly.
What would you say to the patient that is iffy about going because it's like, I don't want to run into my therapist at the grocery store?
Oh, wow. Good question, Misty.
I'm just curious.
I would say if knowing that getting emotional support and mental health support or behavioral health support could save my life, literally, because we know that affects our physical health. We know that affects substance use.
Yep.
And we know that actually helps with prevent chronic disease. Then I would take the chance of getting help first and watching how professional these folks are there. It is just so professional and confidential. And I just applaud the courage to just take that step.
Me too.
And just
Me too.
Have that faith.
And if you're listening, know that 99% of us are in some form of therapy. I have been for years. Yeah. I am not ashamed of it. It's made me a way better person.
Ditto.
A better mom.
Yeah.
I am overall feel better about myself.
Absolutely.
And I'm like you, like when a problem arises, instead of letting things fester, I'm like, hey, can we work through this?
Yeah. Why would I go to my neighbor for a broken ankle?
Absolutely.
If I'm having thoughts that, I'm just not being able to resolve, or I want to drink over it or drug or just be really, really unhappy, wouldn't I go to a professional who's trained to help me through it? Because it does work.
Yeah,
it does.
I'm really proud of you. That's such good services.
Thank you.
Okay. So what are some of your, this is probably our last question. What are some of your long-term goals or visions for improving public health outcomes in Silverton?
So every 5 years, we do a community health assessment where we interview oodles and oodles of people, big work groups from all aspects of the community, individual interviews. It's actually a state mandate that we do this community health assessment. Then we turn it into a public health improvement plan. That's and cool. that is for 5 years. And that's something that Dana Kranker, as our health planner, has been working on. And so the top priorities have been access to care, whether that be physical access to care, which now we have these two wonderful clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank goodness. And so we are really trying to work on getting oral health in Silverton. We
I'm have crossing my fingers.
Wonderful services at the school for our children through regional health departments. Yes. But we need it for adults, right?
Really bad.
Really bad. So we are just, I've been working on that for like 9 years, but we got a little interruption there for about four. So we are really putting our feelers out. The other high goals are transportation. We also want to help improve health equity amongst residents who are either, you know, English is a second language, or seniors, or just people who need more resources. So we have a lot of high risk groups, people without transportation. And then also behavioral health continues. We want more sustainable. We don't want to rely on a grant to have therapists in town to offer support and services. And then just social determinants of health. And what that means is everybody has access to clean water, affordable food, and fruits and vegetables. Rent, housing, that's a big one. But we have so many wonderful partners who are working really hard on it. And our, you know, our little public health service has only so much capacity. So that's one that, you know, definitely other partners are really spearheading. So those, and then just maintaining our relationships. Like, you know, the school is just such an amazing partner. The town, the county, our elected officials, I have never seen so much support with elected officials to support our community with health needs. And then, oh my gosh, Misty, your library program, because people need pro-social ways to connect. Yes. Isolation is dangerous. And I think we are a very kind of reclusive community, but there's always a balance.
Yep.
So
I agree.
Your work here at the library is just so fun.
Thank you.
So fun. I appreciate all the work you do.
I grew up in a town that was small, and I too wanted a place that people could come just to be. Sometimes you don't even need to talk to people, you know? You just want to, like, there's another person there.
Yes, to belong. Yeah. We all want to be loved and belong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you're very welcome to come here. If you want to just hang out or belong or chat, you can find Becky here too sometimes. She's a big reader. Speaking of reading, what are you reading right now?
Oh, The Frozen River. Oh. It's about a midwife in the, 1600s, 1700s? Yes. Because I love healthcare. And
oh my gosh.
About...
My mind is blown by this book, guys. I'm not going to spoil it because she's almost done and I just finished it. But this is, like I was saying, truly my first real historical fiction. I've done the books where it bounces between like back in the 1700s and it's present day.
Yeah.
And that's always kind of kept me tethered. And I was like, I don't know if I can dig in. Oh my gosh, you guys, read Frozen River. So good.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite book recommendation? Like if someone were to approach you like a complete stranger and say, I really want an amazing story and...
Oh my gosh, Misty, there's so many. What was that one book that
Becky and I forget the names of everything.
Me too. Nico and Laurel recommended, and it was about it was the Snow Child.
Oh,
I don't know why, but that one was so unique.
Everybody in our book club loved that book.
Yeah,
very good.
So unique. So anyways, but what I love is you. I don't ever come to the library and leave without a really good book, it seems.
Thanks.
So.
Yeah, that's my badge of honor. I look at it like, what do I want? What? And then I think about my different groups of friends here and the people I know. And that's kind of how we have such a good collection.
It's a village.
It is a village.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Becky. I really enjoyed speaking with you. I learned a lot about your position. She wears a lot of hats. So if you see her in town, thank her, buy her a coffee. She deserves it.
I'll buy you a coffee, guys. And I just want to say, Misty, this is the first interview I've done. I do not do interviews. It started right before during the pandemic. Deanne Gallegos has been an amazing communications liaison for me. Well, I don't do interviews because I always imagine I'm going to say the wrong thing, but you've made this really fun.
Yeah. So thank you. You're welcome. I am thrilled to be the first to interview you. It was Super, very delightful. And I am so glad you guys joined us today. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to talking with you next time. Thanks, take care. Bye bye.